I just want to stay in His presence over this time. I think I'm old enough to know, I'm 45 now, to know that I'm not a preacher as such, but I'm a son of God. And so I don't want to preach this morning, I really don't. Lord, may we never move outside of Your presence, Lord. Can we just take this time? Lord, we love You. Lord, we love You. Lord, we love You. I just want to read out of Matthew 24. From verse 6. It says, "And you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. Then you will be arrested, will be persecuted, and you'll be killed. And you'll be hated all over the world because you are My followers. And many will turn away from Me and betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and will deceive many people. And listen to this. Sin will be rampant everywhere. And the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." I mean, you all heard this morning already that there's wars and threats of wars. I mean, it feels like we're on the brink of World War III. But like Andrew said, what's it to us, right? As Christians, we need to just keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen. What is there to fear if we have Jesus? And you know, the reality is, there is a war. There's a war over our souls. There's a direct target on each one of you. The enemy wants to see you destroyed. Are in a war. And it says that as we see these things, sin will be rampant and the love of many will grow cold. And guys, I've got to be honest with you. I ask myself this question, Lord, will I endure to the end?
I've had these questions. Lord, will I endure to the end? Because I'm tired. I get tired, guys. I get tired. I'm sometimes like, Lord, I don't know if I can keep my hand on the plow. Where will I be when He returns? On that day that no one knows. What will I be doing when He comes back? What will He find me doing? Guys, seriously, will I genuinely be under His lordship? Would I genuinely have endured under His lordship? Somewhere along the lines of the days of my life, would I have somewhere said, yes, Lord, it's enough for me. Will I be found grafted into the vine of God? John 15, verse 4. It says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Am I genuinely remaining in Him? Or will I be severed? Maybe in the faithfulness of me serving the Lord just becomes routine, but there's something of the flame of God that dies. I could so easily be a faithful elder in the house of God, but my love for Christ, would I have fallen asleep? Would I be one of those that says to the Lord, but Lord, Lord, I've been in your church all my life. What if He says to me, I don't know you? These are genuine questions I'm battling with in my own heart. Lord, will I endure? Lord, am I fully surrendered? Am I fully surrendered to your lordship? Matthew 16, verse 24 says, if anyone wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to this life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? For the Son of Man will come with His angels in the glory of His Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. If you're a follower, there needs to be a letting go of your old life. If you at one point of your life said, Jesus, I follow you, there are things you need to lay down. And we are called, it's part of the great calling to be a child of God, is to take up our cross and follow him. And I'll be honest, there's been a time that I'm like, I don't know if this cross is just getting too heavy for me. I don't know, Lord. Like I said, will I endure? Will I endure? And I really feel this morning that there's many of us carrying something heavy. Maybe you've walked in this morning and you are carrying a heaviness. There's a letting go. There's a letting go. I've had this scripture on my mind this whole week. It's in Exodus. And in Exodus, Moses is at the burning bush and the Lord appears to Moses and he says to Moses, go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Let my people go that they may worship me. Let my people go that they may worship me. And why is God saying that? That they may worship me. Is it because he wants to stroke his own ego? I need these people to worship me. No. Because when you worship something, you come under that thing's lordship. And you know what Pharaoh did? Pharaoh kept them bending, carrying heavy, being slaves. Pharaoh was an evil lord. But when we come under God's lordship, he says, my yoke is easy. I want to show you a new way so you can stop carrying so heavy. So he says, my yoke is easy. Sorry. Just in Matthew 11, it says, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. If you're carrying a heavy burden, the Lord's promises, if you come to me, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Who here can say today that they've walked into this building and they genuinely have 100% rest in the Lord? It's amazing. Then there's at least one year that doesn't have to respond this morning. Are you in some way or another in your life still carrying something that's quite heavy? And my question would be, what are you a slave to? What are you a slave to? What are you carrying this morning? What are you carrying that's still you've dragged along with you from Egypt? Is it sin? Is it anxiety? Is it being yoked under debt? What are you carrying heavy this morning? You know, Pharaoh was not a good lord. He was not a good master. The more Moses pleaded with them, let my people go, the harder he made them work. He got to the point where he's like, well, now I'm going to make them work double without providing straw for them. They can go get their own straw. Moses is not a good lord. Ugh. Sorry, Pharaoh. Pharaoh is not a good lord. And you know, 9 times Moses demanded, he said, let my people go. And every time, it was followed by a plague. And 9 times, Pharaoh said, oh, okay, I'm sorry. Like, I'll let your people go. And as soon as the plague disappears, what does Pharaoh do? Actually, I've changed my mind. I've changed my heart about you going, you staying. I'm not letting you go. Moses could be again, let my people go, or else this. And then it happens. The 6th time, 7, 8, 9. Eventually, Pharaoh's like, go. I want to ask you, who's Pharaoh in your life? Is it the devil? Maybe it's a demonic force that's holding you down. It's making you carry heavy. Maybe there's an area in your life that is not fully surrendered. Maybe you walked in this morning and you're like, I've never surrendered my life to God. I've never done it. Or maybe you've walked with the Lord for 40, 50 years, but there's areas in your life that you haven't quite surrendered to Him. I must admit that Pharaoh sounds a lot like me. Because so many times, God has pleaded with me, Tony, I'm setting you free. I'm setting you free. I'm fighting for you. And then as soon as I feel like God's judgment is lifted, then I'm like, oh no, actually I'm having a change of heart. Let me go back to my old ways. I'm holding on to that old man. And so it's my fault. I'm my own worst enemy. And then there was the 10th plague. Who knows what that was? It was the killing of every firstborn in the land. I want to say that we were firstborn of the flesh. We were firstborn of the flesh. And then the scripture says, but you must be born again to inherit the kingdom of God. So our firstborn needs to die. The flesh man needs to surrender and die. And what did he say to the Israelites? He says, my redemption comes from me. You're not gonna, it's not through your works. None of that. God made a way. God made a way. And so the 10th plague was about to hit. God's angel of death was coming, and he says in preparation to them, go find a pure and spotless lamb. Go and sacrifice the lamb. Drain the blood from the lamb. Smear it on your doorposts. And wait inside. Wait inside. I want to ask you a question this morning. What is at the doorpost of your life? What is at the entrance? What's coming in and out of your life? Is it covered by the blood of Jesus? Yo. Guys, the enemy has got many missiles, many attacks coming our way, and I feel like we're open targets. We're open targets. And the Lord is saying, please, the angel of death is coming. Would your life, whatever goes in and out of your life, would be covered by the blood of the Lamb. And so can I ask for the elements this morning? Just the wine. We're gonna put it in front here. But before we do that, I just want to go to Exodus 12, verse 4. It says here, if a family is too small to eat a whole animal or the whole lamb, let them share with another family in the neighborhood. It's the first time I read that this week. If the family is too small to eat the whole lamb, let them share with one another. So this morning, there's going to come a time where we're going to break up into groups. I want us to partake of the blood of the lamb, the body of Christ. And I want you to share and minister the Lamb of God with one another. Amen. I'm going to do that this morning. Jesus. We sang this morning, there's power in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would break every chain. Father, I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here this morning, Lord, that are bound, they're still stuck in Egypt. Lord, I pray, would you set every person free this morning? Whether it's private sin, whether it's anxiety, depression, whether it's in the way they think, Lord, would you come and set everybody free this morning, Lord? I want to ask you this morning, if you've never said, Lord, please set me free. Please set me free this morning. You know, Jesus came. He came. The Father sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. Jesus is the pure and spotless Lamb. It's nothing that we've done, not through our own efforts, but Jesus has come and he said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. And it is us who put him on the cross. It is our sin who put him on the cross. And that is our only redemption. That is our only hope, is the blood of Jesus. And if you want to respond this morning to saying, Jesus, I need your redemption. I need you to set me free this morning. Won't you right now where you are, just raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you so much. I see that. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Jesus died for our sins. Is there anyone else?